let's just start talking on the first page. And by this time, when we're talking about the role of the guardian, let's assume you've already gotten through all the court procedures. So at the end of either an easy battle or a no battle at all or a hard battle, somewhere or another, you now have somebody who has been appointed as a guardian. So do they get to serve immediately? No, they do not get to, because first they've got to actually qualify. So just the judge signing the order is not an automatic qualification of the guardian. Instead, there's one other thing that the guardian has to do, and that's to secure his or her bond. And so an insurance company writes the bond for whatever the court determined in the order, then it gets submitted to the court and the judge can sign off on the bond. And it's only when the bond has been approved by the court and that the guardian has taken their oath, and those are two things that are going to happen after the hearing, only after both of those two things happen can the clerk issue letters of guardianship. So that needs to be done ideally fairly quickly after the order has been signed. Sometimes there are issues with bonding companies that'll really slow things down. In order to avoid those, I always recommend that you definitely try to get your client pre-approved, or at least begin that conversation with the bonding company, because there's nothing worse than finding out that the court assigns a $300,000 bond on your client, and then you've got to go back and say, well, judge, turns out my client couldn't actually qualify for that bond. So you want to do that ahead of time, and most surety companies are very willing to do that because they want your business. So always be aware that bonds can slow things down. The code provides that everything needs to be in place, or that the oath needs to be signed a short amount of time after the order. But that's because that gives the court the ability to remove somebody or change their mind on who should be the guardian if somebody's not moving fast enough. But there may be times when it's out of the proposed guardian's hands or out of your hands, and so the court should be lenient as long as things are still moving forward. So one thing that is fairly new for us now, going on about 4 years, or is the dealing with a new process of how to certify guardians, what our clients actually have to go through before the court can appoint them as guardian. And that involves things that the Office of Court Administration has created, and it is now governed by the Certification Commission. And what that really means is that now the guardian is going to have to fill out something online. It's a difficult process, at least I find it difficult. But you want to make sure that you at least have some familiarity with it. Better yet, you want to have somebody in your office who has familiarity with it, so that you don't have to actually go through every step with a proposed guardian. But it can be difficult, and there's lots of questions on there that are going to be confusing if you've never seen them or heard them before. One thing, and all guardians have to go through the certification, and most guardians have to actually do additional things, such as background checks and fingerprinting. The attorneys who are serving as guardians do not have to do that. So that's one thing that we still have in our pocket, that we do not have to go through the full criminal background check to be the guardian. But everybody else is going to have to go through background checks. And like I said, there's fingerprinting requirements now if it's more than a $50,000 estate that somebody's going to be in charge of. And so the process is that they fill out the application, or they get the certification, and then once the certification is processed, the JBCC, Certification Commission, will send instructions and information on how to go and get fingerprinted. All this takes time, okay? And so what you want to do, if you can, is get working on that as soon as possible. If you know that your client's going to end up being the guardian, or is likely going to be the guardian, or has a chance of being a guardian, go ahead and go through the certification process, because otherwise it's going to slow things down, and you may not get to have your hearing as soon as you are ready to have it, because the court is still waiting on that certification to come through. Regarding the bond, so like I said, the guardian has to come in and give the court a bond to have approved. And we're not talking much about bonds in this conference, but the bond is there to protect the ward. So always keep that in mind. That's why it exists at all, and that's why it has to be usually a high number. And so be able to tell your client ahead of time what you expect that bond to be. It's all in the statute as to what the bond should be. There are some courts that tend to not give the proper bond or require the proper bond from somebody, but hopefully more courts will keep on requiring the right bond. So what is the bond amount? What does it need to be? Well, basically it needs to be whatever the guardian can steal, okay? And so that means that you're usually not bonding out for real property, but you're bonding out for personal property and really anything that the guardian can get his hands on. Under the statute, it's supposed to be technically in an amount sufficient to protect the guardianship and the guardianship's creditors. And it's defined by statute as the estimated value of the ward's personal property plus the ward's anticipated revenue for the next 12 months. So that's something that often is forgotten when you're setting a bond amount, is that the court also likes to hear about the, what the 12 months of revenue are going to look at, so that it's assuming that during a 12-month period, the guardian could theoretically steal all the personal property and whatever other income the personal property makes during those 12 months.